And the people of God said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, come on. Praise the Lord.
Praise
the Lord. Yeah, that's what the choir is about, you know. Choir is, I explained to you before, but we gave our authority to choir to praise God. So while choirs are singing anthem, we also sing it together. So after that, we say, praise the Lord, right? Amen?
Amen.
Okay. After Sunday school, a five-year-old girl complained to her mother that she had a stomach ache. The mother said, honey, that's because your stomach is empty. So her mother said, you will feel better if you have something in it. So she gave the little girl a snack, and this girl felt better right away. That afternoon, the family pastor dropped by for a visit. While chatting with the mother, this pastor mentioned that he had a bad headache all day long. The little girl said, that's because it's empty. You will feel better if you have something in it. That's what I feel right now. It's empty. After 40 days of Lenten season, and this is the time that we look at our lives, we look at ourselves, we look at our situations. This is the time that we re-examine the life, the nature of our lives. Why we made God to come to us? What kind of nature that made God came to us and took the cross for us? This is the time we need to think about this big question mark. Why? W-H-Y, why? Why did God come to us? What part of nature made God a sacrificial lamb for us? Through the cross, we heard that we are able to reconcile our relationship with God. Through the cross, we are able to get closer to God and restore our relationship. Every year, when we are walking through this Lenten journey, I always meditate this question of why. Why did Almighty Creator become human flesh and went all the way to the cross to save us? Think about it. Almighty Creator that whom able to do anything but God pick this way, the cross, to save us. Through the cross, through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our God, our loving God, opened the door of salvation for us. Opened the door of forgiveness for us. Opened the door of reconciliation for us. This cross reminded us how difficult it is. Let me say that again. This cross reminded us how difficult it is to forgive. How difficult it is to reconcile, reunited with God. how difficult it is to reconcile with one that we offended. Last 4 weeks, we learned about apology and forgiveness. One thing we learned is forgiveness is hard. Forgiveness is a hard thing to do. We learned the last 4 weeks with a difficult and different languages of apology. It's really hard to forgive. It's really hard to reconcile. It's really hard for us. Apologizing and asking for forgiveness is not simple. But in our real life, in many times, we consider it as a simple and easy things to do. When I was 2004, when I just started ministry, I was able to serve as a hospital chaplain. During the work of a hospital chaplain, I was able to witness the last moment of several different lives. You know, that critical moment, only words that I hear from people is, "I am sorry. I am sorry." I was thinking, why at that moment? Why at the end of life we are able to say, "I'm sorry"? It's hard, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Apology and forgiveness is hard. This is the fifth and last sermon on the five languages of apology. We learn that through expressing proper language of apology in our relationship, there's a forgiveness, there's a redemption, there's a reconciliation possible. Do you know when redemption happened? We learned it. When we repent our sin before God. When we apologize our wrongs with the language of the offended. Sincerely. That's when forgiveness happened. That's when redemption happened. That's when reconciliation happened. However, I want you to remember that we don't demand forgiveness. We don't demand forgiveness. We request it. We ask for it. There's a vast difference between requesting forgiveness and demanding forgiveness. Forgiveness is essentially a choice to lift the penalty. Forgiveness say, "I care about our relationship, therefore I chose to accept your apology and no longer demand justice." That's forgiveness. Forgiveness is a gift. It is essentially a gift, but a gift that is demanded is no longer a gift. So we cannot demand forgiveness. We ask for it. Would requesting or asking forgiveness be so important in our lives, in our relationship? The book lay out that the first requesting forgiveness indicate to some that you want to see the relationship fully restored. Second is reason is that requesting forgiveness is important is that the it shows that you realize you have done something wrong. Fully accept that the fact that you did something wrong. Third, requesting forgiveness shows that you are willing to put the future of the relationship in the hands of the offended person. Requesting forgiveness, asking forgiveness is essentially difficult for those individuals who have a strong controlling personality, it says. The answer for the question is a choice that the offended must make to forgive or not to forgive. And the future of the relationship rests on that decision. Without the request of forgiveness, your statement, we learned last 4 weeks, you have expressed regret by saying, I am sorry. You have admit you're wrong, I was wrong. You may have offended to make amend. What can I do to make it right? And you have committed to change of your doing. I will try not to do that again. That your statement may sound like a glib remark designed to put the matter behind you without really dealing with it. Now, we are saying, will you forgive me? Will you forgive me? It's the key that opened the door to the possibility of forgiveness and reconciliation that convinces them that you are indeed sincere in your apology. It's the same. It's the same in our relationship with God, isn't it? In order to experience God's forgiveness, God's redeeming and amazing grace, we must respond by repentance. We learned last Sunday, sincere, heartfelt repentance. That's a crucial situation that the brothers of Joseph, today's scripture, encountered. Joseph was one of the 12 sons of Jacob, his father's favorite son, like me. No, just kidding. And his brother was so jealous, envious, resentful, bitter, they became so hostile that they actually kidnapped him, intending to kill him, but eventually ended up selling Joseph as a slave. Now, the part that we read, the brothers of Joseph have to deal with their wrong done to Joseph. The Bible says this, when Joseph's brother saw that their father was dead, they said, what if Joseph hold a grudge against us and pay us back all for all the wrongs we did to him? So they send the word to Joseph saying, now please forgive the sin of the servant of the God of your father. Verse 15 through 17. But Joseph's response was amazing. Joseph responded to his brothers in the spirit of forgiveness. Isn't that amazing? Spirit of true forgiveness. I believe when Joseph forgave them, his desire for justice melted away. His hurt and anger disappeared. His feeling of embarrassment, humiliation were all faded out. His feeling of rejection and betrayal were no longer there. He trusted God, believing God's redeeming power and amazing grace that he personally experienced. In the midst of all these turmoils, fear, hurt, and loneliness that he experienced while he was in prison, Joseph said it when he met his brother first in Egypt. "Do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourself for selling me here." Because, it's amazing, listen, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. God sent me ahead of you. And now he said to them, verse 20, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good." You intended it to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done to save many lives. That's a spirit of forgiveness. Some biblical scholars say it is one of the high point of spiritual greatness in the Old Testament. Joseph certainly shows great spiritual maturity as he is able to say to those who had wanted to kill him that God was able to turn even their cruel motives, shady action, into something good. The main message from this wonderful passage is the true spirit of forgiveness. The true spirit of redeeming grace of God. Meaning that no failure need to be final. We can bounce back. We can change. We can start over. We can be given a new beginning. We can reconcile. Can we say that we are all like Joseph's brother? In some ways. Our lives, our lifestyles, somewhat like Joseph's brothers. And people like you and me can be redeemed, changed, converted with a true spirit of forgiveness. With a true spirit of forgiveness, we can be reshaped, reclaimed, restored our relationship with God. So let me ask you, if you have something in your life that need to be changed, whether it's a secret sin, vengeful spirit, bad temper, lack of commitment, a hateful attitude that you want to change, here's the good news. If you are willing, with your heart, God can be changed you. If we really want to change, we need to go to God and open our hearts and open our mouth to confess our sin and ask God, "Will you forgive me?" will you forgive me? 1 John 1 chapter 9 says this, if you confess our sin, if we confess our sin, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In book of Romans chapter 10 verse 10, for one believes with the heart, leading to the righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, leading to the salvation. My brothers and sisters in Christ, God desires fellowship with us. That is what cross is about. That's cross. God offered this cross to us. God offers God's forgiveness to us. God already paid ransom for us. A small college chapel in North Carolina that has one unique and most unusual baptismal font in the world. It made from a huge stone which has been hollowed out for font. On that very stone, the history behind is they sold African slaves. They made them stood on the rock, on this stone, and then sold to the highest bidder. And then this stone became baptismal font. An inscription on a plaque tells who enter those cleansing waters, saying this: on this stone, man was sold into slavery. From this stone, men are now baptized into freedom. And the cross, once emblem of suffering and shame and punishment and death, has been redeemed. This cross is now the symbol of love and forgiveness. On the grace of God, grace happens when we confess our sin. We ask for forgiveness. Then God will reach out and God will redeem us with the love that God showed to us on the cross. Let us pray. Amazing God, we thank you for the message that you've given us today. The message that reminds us that you opened the door for salvation, the forgiveness, redemption, reconciliation. We sometimes carry out our own secret burdens, fearing to share them even with you. Oh God, help us to, during this Lenten journey, help us to say, I am sorry. Help us to find the true forgiveness that you offer to us. Pour out your grace and spirit for those who are crying for the need of forgiveness and reconciliation. Give us, God, the courage that we say, will you forgive me to the offended? Help us also to forgive others as we are asked to forgive us. Be with us. Empower us with the Spirit. And help us to fully rely on the cross, the forgiveness that you offer to us. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please stand for closing hymn?